This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Episode number 44, mother.
Hello.
We're back.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a wild couple weeks, man. The whole Metal Shop at 10 movement gained a little traction, apparently.
Yes.
So I guess we're a big deal now?
We won.
No. We're just still a metal show that they tucked into the weekends.
But we are on at 10.
Yeah, we got a whole nother hour, man, which means we got a whole nother hour of people that, you know, can't stay up that late.
It's true.
Right. Which is totally fine and totally kicks ass.
That means grandma can listen. Finally.
Maybe.
So,
maybe.
Huge shout out.
If she's got her medication.
To all the sweet bands, all the listeners, especially the devoted Metal Shop crew, the Metal Shop Metal Tribe that has been sticking with us and demanded they wanted Metal Shop at 10. We got some feedback from some great bands like Witchburn, Swamp Heavy, Mastodon, Killswitch Engage. Hell yeah.
And yeah, and like you said, though, biggest shout outs to the people at the station who helped us make this happen. Misha, especially.
Of course.
Misha Kian. She knows so many bands too, and just was like, you know, putting bugs in ears, being like, hey, we need a little help these guys out. So she hooked us up with some of the most epic photos we got today. Just today or a couple days ago, we got that Bill Kelleher from Mastodon Metal Shop at 10 sign.
Hell yeah,
that was cool.
Very cool, man.
I mean, the list goes on and on. We're not gonna sit here and name it all up, but just thank you to reiterate.
Very awesome.
It's been a cool week, so we're back.
Instead of coming on at 11, we're gonna be on at 10 until 2 a.m. every Saturday night. So we're gonna end a little earlier, which, you know, some people I heard voiced a little displeasure, but let's take a look here.
It's let's think about this.
It's the satisfaction of the many versus the discomfort of a few. You gotta look at the macro and the micro, okay? The macro is very, very good. The micro is a few people, you know.
Here's the way I see it. Metal Shop used to be from 11 to 2.
It's true.
And we, as a conglomerate, kind of just did the same thing on a lesser scale, kind of just went till 3. We didn't really ask. This time we figured we probably should ask because they might actually hear it. But because we extended Metal Shop by an hour about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Two and a half years ago.
Yeah, probably about 2.5 years ago.
And so what we're doing is we're just taking that extra hour that we got and taking it from the end of the show and tacking it on at the beginning of the show.
Like we originally asked for.
Yeah, and they said no.
So, well.
But now they said yes.
It's good. It worked out.
It's totally good. And, you know,
they were like, we don't know. You might scare people. I'm not really sure if that's going
to
work.
When Steve and Kevin were originally doing it, it was 11 to 1. So they had 2 hours.
Right.
And then they got 3 hours. And now we got 4 hours. And now we got 4 hours at a better time.
Yeah.
And so eventually it'll just be Metal Shop at noon.
Or what I would love to see is maybe an hour or two of Metal Shop a couple times a week.
Yeah.
That, you know. That's something that we can work towards in the years, then decades to come, and even whoever hosts Metal Shop after we die or whatever happens.
I got an idea. A separate HD channel for all Metal Shop.
That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. Because, you know, nobody listens to those HD channels anyways. Right?
Oh. Right, but
I mean, some people do.
We would be like making the switch that Howard Stern made without any of the money. That's what it would be like.
Or the porn stars.
Yeah. So we'll just keep brainstorming and see what happens. But for now, we're happy with where we're at.
You'll never get it if you don't ask for it.
You know, a buddy of mine threw out the idea. He's like, hey, why don't you guys next year like try to extend it by an hour or two and just do an hour, just go till 3 a.m.
Dude,
again.
We could.
Like,
you know,
it would be cool, but I feel like all three of us would be so zonked out.
Well, here's the way. Okay, you also have to look at the way that radio works and the way people listen to radio. I mean, we'll peel back that umbrella a little bit in the fact that, you know, people listen to radio for what, like 10, 15 minutes at a time?
Yeah.
So if we did Metal Shop for 6 hours, it would be like six different metal shows in one long session.
So we
because people would be tuning in and out and they'd be catching, you know, different parts.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be us. We would be the only ones probably that would hear all 6 hours.
We would almost have to like reiterate specific news stories.
It'd be like two shows.
Yeah, we would have to like new songs and stuff.
Yeah, it'd be like The Daily Show and The Colbert Report.
Wait, I played Pantera. I already played Pantera. That was 5 hours ago.
Good point. I was asleep, man.
The quadruple Pantera promise.
I ate two meals between then and now.
Dude, we would literally have to go like poop. Like 6 hours is a long time,
no.
Man, to be alive, you know.
Or we could wear
diapers.
We'd
have to swap out. Like the astronaut lady that drove across cross country didn't stop.
Dude, diapers for Metal Shop. Great idea.
Let's get that Depend sponsorship.
Just slap the Metal Shop logo on there. And
we'll just put Metal Shop bringing you the brown note.
Metal Shop at 10. During Cotton Amash.
We'll start a segment called The Brown Note where it's just like, all right, you guys ready? We're going to do this all on cue. 1, 2, 3.
Call it Shartan Amash.
I feel so much better.
You guys ever heard that band called Shat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With all the dildos
they wore dildos on their heads and they had a song that goes, got a zit on my dick, got a zit on my dick,
got a zit on my dick, got a zit on my dick. I just remember their singer having a dildo attached to a chin and actually sitting there for a minute or two thinking, like, how can you, like, make that work?
You lick her butthole.
Oh,
they had this other song in the...
Ian's got the solution.
In the style of P.O.D. that was like, it's about time to suck on my p*** now. It's about time to suck on my p*** now. Wow. Shat. Good times. They opened for Dillinger Escape Plan.
This is how we get good ratings.
Hey, man, it's a podcast, so if people are listening,
they're in for.
They wanted it. They needed it.
You wanted that chin dildo.
Fucking needed it.
Oh.
We're inside of them.
Speaking of which, I just want to call out whoever here at the radio station feels like bringing up a bag full of dog shit and leaving it in the fucking fridge in like the office for it to like fester and mold, and then when I open...
Wait, what?
When I open, not literally,
okay.
But when I open the fridge door, it like hits me in the face with just this nastiest ass, rankest. Clean up your fucking food, man. It's literally made me gag.
Yeah, hot Kyle.
And then when I opened up the fridge to grab a lovely beverage, my beverage that's sitting in front of me smells like that. That's how fucking bad it is. Stop. Clean your shit.
Dude, Max...
Where adult depends for your lunch.
Max pooped in the fridge.
I don't know who it was.
It straight up happened.
Anyway, speaking of continuing on these last few weeks of defecation after the napalm death pooping the pants thing slash barfing off the balcony thing, This Week at Machine Head,
which
was an awesome show.
It was great, man.
Super packed.
Played like 2 hours,
at
right?
Numo's, yeah. Straight. They didn't really take any intermissions or anything. They kind of just like, they would play, they would stop and talk for a second, you know, catch their breath, and then they never walked off.
Yeah, Rob Flynn did a little bit of an acoustic thing about halfway through to kind of
let his dudes chill.
Yeah, for a minute, and kind of like tone it back for a second, let everybody hang out, but it was still entertainment on the stage for 2 hours straight.
Yeah, someone was doing something.
Yeah.
Were you entertained?
Are you not entertained? So, anyway, the original reason we even brought this up, and I didn't witness this, but Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Ryan, you always witness the weird
shit. You want me to tell a story? I'll tell a story. Okay.
I'm not going to pretend I know.
So I was standing there talking to a friend of mine that works down there, and he was working the podium, checking the stamps, and a fan had another fan by the neck.
So where exactly were they? In Numo's, if you know where you're at, where you can visualize it.
Just on the way as you walk
like into the main door.
Into the main area.
Like after you've walked in the venue, but into the main room.
The main
stage. The guy that's like checking your wrist stamp.
Yeah, totally. So we're just having a conversation, and one fan pulls another fan out, and he's got him by the scruff of the neck, and the guy is just hella drunk, and he shoves him into my buddy Tony's face, and he just goes, "This guy just pissed on a dude. You need to deal with this." And Tony just kind of got a look on his face as anybody would rightly get.
What?
Like, yeah, just trying to process. And the drunk guy just goes, "Yep, I peed on a guy. Take me away.
Take me away."
Just
take me away, Sheriff.
No shame, nothing. So they drag him out. Not a minute later, this guy comes storming out of the venue. Just his whole leg was just wet. And the guy looked bummed out and confused and pissed and just, literally pissed, I guess.
Imagine standing there, you're watching the show, and it's got to take a good two or 3 seconds to realize you're getting fucking pissed off.
And that's the thing. The show hadn't even started yet. Nobody had played anything yet. So the guy was standing there waiting for the music to start, and this drunk dude was just like unleashing on his
right. So the leg. Okay, what's the logic involved there? So it's got to be something along the lines of normally I would get it if it was like I'm standing in a sold out venue and I have a great place to stand right now, I'm hella drunk and I don't want to walk away from the show, I'm just gonna piss on this dude and see if I can get away with it. But no one was playing.
I'm gonna piss on you.
And I'm sure the guy could have gotten back to where he was at that point. Like, it wouldn't have been that big a deal.
Just, excuse me.
Maybe he
was just like, had
take
a bad day, and he was like, you know what? I've had enough of life. Screw this one guy standing next to me.
I feel like that's something you can do and get away with when you're really old. But how was this guy, like, in his 30s or something?
I'm going to have to, like late 30s.
We should find him 30s. Out. Let's find him. And then let's set, like, hire him to go into the pit and piss on people we don't like. Think we could get away with that?
The mad pisser.
Yeah. We could probably get Max Long to do that at some point.
I guarantee you could get Max Long to do that.
Get him in. If you, one show you could get away with that at? Gwar.
Gwar. Totally. Definitely.
Gwar! Did you just pee on me? Nah, man. What? Like, are you sure? Nah.
There's like blood cannons and shit.
Nah, man. That's my cuttlefish.
Yeah, you got hit by the cuttlefish, bro.
You know, something that was kind of a topic of interest this week, it seemed to be everywhere, and I thought of you, Ian, about this, because you talked about recently on the podcast how you're colorblind, and there was that stupid ass dress debate, like, color is the dress?
That bummed me out so bad.
When I saw that, I just thought of Ian. I was like, how bad is he gonna rant on the podcast about this? Because is it news to people that people have different spectrums of vision? I see the same same colors as someone else.
So here's the first thing that pissed me off about that whole thing is that the same day that went down, the FCC voted for net neutrality, which should have been the f***ing story, right? Should have been the f***ing story.
Yeah.
Because you made it so that now Verizon, Comcast, or whatever, they're going to make it so they're not able to charge you more for higher speed to access or access to certain websites.
Yeah.
Which we, like, it'd be like you had to pay more to have fast access to Facebook.
Yeah.
Because everyone uses Facebook. It's that kind. So they voted that down, and instead of that, everyone talking about that and why that shouldn't happen, you know, that should never ever happen. And a fucking dress pops up and everyone's like, what color is a dress? Are you fucking kidding me?
And it's not like it was a few people here and there, like a comment or...
Every single fucking person I knew...
It blew up the goddamn internets. It was really stupid.
Is this dress white and gold or is it blue? It fuck you! That's what fucking color it is. Beyond that, it changed for me as the days went on and I couldn't stop fucking seeing it because everybody was posting about it.
Yeah, I just...
Only in America, dude. Where are some dumb motherfuckers are in this everywhere? Just fuck... Ugh! Anyway, and the other thing is...
that's what I was hoping for.
And also, I am colorblind as shit. So every time I say, yeah, I'm colorblind, and it's usually a girl, she goes, oh my god, what do you mean you're colorblind? Does that mean you can't see colors? Yeah, bitch, I see in black and white. I see in black and white. I live in a 50s fucking sitcom. No, I see in color. Everything's just a little different. Can you not imagine that? Like...
It's just red-green. You can't tell the difference,
right? Okay, so let me give you a couple examples. Like, you remember when you're back in school, high school or whatever, elementary school, and you have that brown chocolate milk carton?
Mm. Yeah.
That was definitely bright green for me.
Hmm.
I can't see the bottom stop sign on a red, yellow, green. It's just white. I can't see that. I can't see the color pink, especially if it's light pink. You could give me a light pink shirt, and I would think it was white, and I'd probably wear it and walk around.
As colorblind as you are, I guarantee... If you took a look at a nice nug of weed, you could tell us exactly what color
is
what is.
Touche. Anyway, it's just the kind of thing of like, yeah, believe it or not, people see things differently. Shocking.
Wow. Really?
Step outside your little world, man.
I just thought it was so dumb how people were like, the fucking dress is blue, goddammit! Like, there's a definitive answer, like, you were ass for seeing it different.
I feel like that is a perfect example of, like, if there was anything ever actually important going on in the world, all anyone would ever have to do to cover that shit up easily from the entire internet population is do some dumb shit like that. So it makes me wonder, like...
Terrorist strikes.
What is it that we... Yeah. What is it that we're being distracted from?
I think ISIS planted it.
Like, whatever's trending on Twitter, that shit's all a conspiracy. I swear to God. Anyway, we could dive real deep down the rabbit
hole. Ian's going hammer time on this.
I guess probably before it's too late, we should probably just go talk about some metal news.
Metal news.
That's what we're here for.
With Kurt Loder.
Hi, I'm Kurt Loder. This just in. Madonna fell down the stairs last week.
Kennedy. Remember Kennedy from MTV?
Yeah.
She was hot, but she was a Republican.
Remember Jesse?
Hey, I'm Jesse.
Jesse. Yeah, he works at a pet store in L.A. now. I looked him up on Wikipedia.
good. Let's go visit him
and
buy a hamster.
Former VJs are up to these days.
Jesse. Yeah, this is watching TRL.
But Ian Robinson, that guy was pretty badass. He used to always rock metal, and he owns his own like indie comic company, so he's actually doing cool shit. Whereas Jesse did a lot of drugs.
And hamsters.
And Dave Holmes is the host of Dinner and a Movie on FX.
Hey man, somebody's got to watch Spider-Man 1.
Remember Matt Pinfield? That guy knew so much goddamn about music.
Yeah, he has like a radio show or
encyclopedic.
Somewhere.
Oh yeah, he has a podcast too.
Yeah, he gets paid still for something because he actually has a fucking set of knowledge.
But we're not here to talk about other people's podcasts. We're here to podcast. We're
anyway,
so meta
news. Stop fucking, every time you say that, it creeps me out. Septic Flesh, those guys were supposed to come here last year, but they had to cancel, right?
Someone did
something. Or...
No, it was one of them was having a kid.
Yeah. Oh, no, his mom died.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. He was like, my mom's dying. And that's, remember when we were like, okay, the one excuse you get.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom's dying. Okay. You get the ultimate pass. So, but they're coming back to town to make up for it. It's going to be Septic Flesh, Moonspell, and Death Stars for the Conquerors of the World 3 tour. They are going to be supporting their new album, Titan. And by that, I mean Septic Flesh. They're going to be in Seattle May 4th at Studio 7. There will probably be like 9 local bands on it. But it's going to be a good show.
Okay. Right on. Hella metals. So dudes from Megadeth recently quit. Sean Drover and Chris Broderick being the two dudes that left the Megadeth camp. They seem to have an ever-revolving lineup that is Megadeth, except for, of course, Dave Mustaine and Dave Ellefson.
Right.
But they're now going to be in a band called... What is it? Act of Defiance. Yeah, it's a dude from Scar the Martyr, Henry Derrick, is going to be on vocals, and Matt from Shadows Fall.
Matt Bashond.
On bass, and they just signed to Metal Blade Records, so should be pretty cool.
Dude, you know it's a thing when you sign to Metal Blade Records without even having any music out. But here's a teaser of some of it. Didn't take them long to write it.
It's produced by Zeus.
This is the first I've heard this. It's got about a minute left. You want to just play it?
Sounds heavier than anything Megadeth has done in years.
Maybe they were defying Dave.
Act of defiance against Dave.
I wonder if these were going to be Megadeth riffs.
Could be.
Pretty ripping.
It's no stained mud shovel.
Yeah, but we're not in 1998. Thank God. If the new Megadeth record sounded like this, I'd be pumped.
I'm kind of waiting for it to go somewhere.
Waiting for the singies?
Waiting to be disappointed. Oh, all right.
Damn. Pretty thrashy. Act of Defiance. They're already on Metal Blade Records, man.
Yeah.
So, something to think about. Wouldn't it be hysterical if they had just joined Metallica as additional
members? And Metallica's like, we don't need these guys, but we're just going to add them on to their band.
You. We're going to hire them anyway.
Or they just start a band called Metallideth.
God damn it. I'd be okay with that. It'd be entertaining. I'd go see that. When I was a kid and Napster was out, we used to download music videos a lot, and it would be a lot of like hip-hop. And we used to download a lot of, like, fastest, like, freestyling videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And we used to listen to a lot of Busta Rhymes because he would just...
My flip mode squad is dangerous. We so dangerous. We so dangerous. My whole entire metal shop is dangerous.
There you go. Anyway, Archspire just posted a vocal playthrough.
Oh, shit.
I've never seen one because it's always, you know, like, drum cam footage. Yeah. Or, yeah. Like a split screen of a dude playing a new song with like one hand on one side and one hand on the other side. So if you wanted to, you could, you know, potentially learn how to play it or whatever. Ryan, you should learn how to sing this.
This is interesting.
Yeah, no.
If you can
it's
learn
like
how
a
to do this
up on his lips. Hey,
if you could learn how to do this, I'll give you $200.
Deal.
You think you could?
I think I could suck at it.
If you can do it along with this, I'll give you $200.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You're like, is my time worth that much? Probably not. It'd probably take you hell long to do it. Here's Archspire, Fathom Infinite Depth. There is a bit of man talking to tickle. And it looks haunting in this multitude of fat. You know, the topic of what's got reported. This arrest thing is circling. This arrest is starting to let you back into the universe. It's a solid light upon the artifact. Why? See?
He's like the Twista of death metal.
Exactly. I bet if you looked at the lyrics to this, they'd be like a f***ing essay, dude.
Oh, yeah. I just went through them when I was tracking this out. It is.
Anyway, yeah, that's wild. Check that. Ryan, can you post? I think I already did. Yeah, that's on the Metal Shop Facebook page right now.
Hmm. So what's up with Sanctuary, man? Did they just kind of get rid of the dude?
Well, remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about how Brad Hull would kind of just disappear and then show back up right
from
before
the Fourth Century.
I wonder if they were kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, so
not really feeling that.
Lenny Rutledge commented that Brad Hull has recently parted ways with Sanctuary. We're excited to welcome Nick Cordle from Arch Enemy and Arsis to the Sanctuary team. So this is interesting. So Nick Cordle from Arch Enemy joins Sanctuary, and Jeff Loomis from Nevermore joins Arch Enemy.
Boom.
What the fuck?
It's a switch.
It's a zigzag.
Ooh. Tag out.
I wonder if they did that on purpose.
That's a good question. I know that, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. There was a really good local guitar player that was trying to do it too, but apparently that didn't happen, so.
Yeah, Ryan didn't make the cut.
Unless, Ryan, you should apply to be the new Megadeth guitar player. I still think you should do that.
You could totally get along with it. Dave.
Yeah.
So like, well.
Whatever you say, Dave.
He's so awkward.
Arch Enemy just posted a video with Jeff Loomis, one of their first official, it wasn't like live audio, but him ripping it up, man, in there with Arch Enemy.
That's awesome.
And as we confirmed a couple weeks ago or last week, he's going to be writing for their new record. So look for the new Arch Enemy record probably next year, maybe year after that.
That dude has a cool life.
I'd say so. He's like, well, I sold my soul to the devil, so I better have a good one.
You know, I like that. I like the idea that Arch Enemy will be putting out a new record, like something kind of fresh, you know, in a complete different, in a new direction, you know, exploring some new stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, Jeff Loomis doesn't. We were talking about, we were wondering whether or not Gary Holt from Exodus would have a lot of input right. on the Slayer record. But thing is, Gary Holt is still in Exodus. Jeff Loomis doesn't have any other bands, so I'm sure he's going to be putting a lot of focus on it, and I wonder how much it's going to be shaped by his guitar playing.
I mean, having a guy like that in your band and not letting him write is kind of it's kind of a waste.
It's like, why are you, yeah.
It's kind of like when Marilyn Manson wasn't letting John 5 write any leads.
Right.
You have like one of the best guitarists, studio guitarists in the industry in your band, and you're paying him an absurd amount of money
probably
to play in your band, and you
let the man rip.
Yeah, let the dude do what you're paying him to do.
It's like when they were talking about a dude from Anthrax when they, you know, he just left to join Volbeat, and he was like, yeah, they wouldn't let me write any songs.
They just said, play the fucking riff.
Play the lead, yeah.
You know how much money we're paying you.
So he was like, okay, I'll go play in Volbeat.
Eat this hamburger and write a fucking riff, bitch. Wait, don't write a riff. Just play this riff I wrote.
Suicide Silence, a Muir tour came through Seattle.
I definitely didn't watch Amir, but I did come just in time to watch Suicide Silence, and they were sweet. But Amir, interesting news about them.
Interesting. Just last week, here's the statement from Frankie Palmieri.
Frankie!
I want to see you. Hey, Colorado, it's Frankie here. It's with a heavy heart I must inform you. Amir will not be performing at the Aggie Theater in Fort Collins tonight.
Is that your Frankie voice?
I experienced a major tear in my vocal cords, and my only chance in finishing the tour is to sacrifice getting to see all of our supporters tonight. And I just turned into like some from East Coast to f***ing JFK.
I guarantee this is why he broke his vocal cord.
I'm already
he was yelling, I want to see you suck his
Yeah. We love you all. This does not put brakes on our current or future obligations, but I am human. These things happen. F***ing Van Flip.
Hashtag.
I mean, they couldn't get somebody else to yell like a child for one night?
Probably. I'm sure they did. I thing is like, every night you miss on tour, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Especially on a package like that, where I'm sure they're probably, you know, they're doing well. I'm sure they're selling out most of it.
Oh, they're selling out indeed.
I mean, yeah. Have you guys ever heard about this guy, Vincent Castiglia?
Not until really just now. Well, I'm looking at his artwork. It's really awesome.
He's an artist, a painter,
mm-hmm.
and he's done a lot of metal covers. It doesn't say who he's worked for. Can you look that up real quick? You don't have a can use the chip in your brain or something.
Right. Let me take a look.
Okay, see if you can find out which other metal records he's done. The reason I find this interesting is that he's crowdfunding a documentary about his art. They're going to be doing an official biopic about Vincent Castiglia called Bloodlines, The Art and Life of Vincent Castiglia. Something that you need to know about this painter that makes him unique is that he uses his paintings, and the paint that he uses is mixed in with his own blood. So he's using his own blood to create paintings in human blood.
Friggin' metal as hell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like that author in Russia who just completed his own autobiography and backed his hardback novel in his own skin.
Damn.
So, yeah, it's pretty f***ing metal, to say the least.
Well, you know, I'm really excited about this because I feel like the...
Wow. Oh, my God, dude. Look at these.
Well, the art in metal is it's such a huge part of the whole picture, and a lot of the people that create all the artwork, all these awesome album covers that we've all grown to love, they really don't get a lot much of a spotlight. It just isn't something that a lot of people talk about. They just say, oh, wow, that's a really sick album cover, and then they just kind of move past it. So I think it's kind of cool to get a chance to kind of see what goes
see
on
how
behind.
He does it.
Yeah, see what goes on behind the scenes.
All right, I need to just let out a little bit here real quick.
So I pulled up some info on him, and it says that his first solo exhibition was at the artist H.R. Giger's Museum in Switzerland.
Hell yeah.
And some of the stuff he's done has ranged from doing the cover of the debut release by Triptychon, Esperiteras, I'm going to say that, Daimones by Triptychon, 2010. He also did a portrait of comedian Margaret Cho.
Really?
Yeah.
In blood.
So she must have been stoked on how metal that was.
I kind of want a piece of art by this guy now.
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
It's kind of like a bucket list thing.
He looks pretty scary, too.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like a ripped as what's that satanic-ass dude? Like the
Anton LaVey.
Yeah, Anton LaVey. He looks like a ripped... Anton LaVey. Like if Anton LaVey was a UFC fighter.
So he can afford the blood. He'll just crank out some new blood tomorrow. You guys play Guitar Hero?
I did a while back.
That game gives me a headache. Straight up. Can't do it.
It's funny that you're like an incredible guitarist, but that game just pisses you off.
Five buttons? I can't do this.
Like,
bing, 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 bing.
Like, here's... I hear stuff and my hands go to where things are supposed to be, and there's just like an effing button nowhere near.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, there was Guitar Hero kind of gave up, and then Rock Band kept going. The cool thing about Rock Band is that I used to get weekly updates about, like, there'd be like 20 different, like, extremely underground metal bands that had been, like, transcribed into Rock Band. So you could be playing along to, like, Emperor on Rock Band. It was, you know. Dumb, you know, but still kind of cool, the fact that, you know, they're still giving it credence. Anyway, if you gave a shit about any of that, you might be happy to know that Rock Band might be coming back, and I also heard this week that Guitar Hero might be coming back. The thing that I thought was the coolest that rose out of the ashes of that is that a video game creators responded to the death of both of those industries by creating an actual f***ing guitar.
Damn.
That they would sell, that actually had 6 strings that you would plug into your Xbox. So you actually had a real guitar, and they would actually teach you how to play songs instead of just playing
Rocksmith.
And
then they took it a step further, and they ditched the controller, so you just plug your own freaking guitar into the thing, which is just...
That's awesome.
Awesome.
That's the way it should have been from the get-go, in my opinion. Because if you had... Think about it. If when Guitar Hero and Rock Band blew up, if you could have just had a real guitar, think about how many f***ing people... would be ripping at guitar, you know, just because they're like, I'm 11 years old and I have 14 hours a day to just sit here and fucking play this game. And then by the time you're like, realize you just beat a game, you're a fucking maestro at a real guitar.
Yeah.
Damn.
So that would, you know, that would be awesome. That's what I want to see.
People would really be beating Dragon Force on expert.
Yeah, they'd be like,
awesome.
Be like, yeah, fuck you, Herman Lee. Watch this. You know what I mean? So
totally. Man, I'm right now, breaking news in the UFC world, Ronda Rousey beat Kat Zingano in 14 seconds of the main event of UFC 148.
He goes, let me get that paycheck real quick.
Ronda Rousey is the fucking shit. She's a babe, and she kicks so much ass. She's
What happened? Was there like a GIF or a video?
No, there's no video yet, but apparently she whipped her ass.
It just says
she's
breaking news.
She's famous for breaking bitches' arms, like with her arm bar. So, yeah. So she's ruthless.
That's gnar.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey. Good job. 14 seconds. That kicks ass.
So
it's just like, I'm here and I'm gone.
Exactly. She's legitimately like the biggest thing in UFC right now. So that's cool to see a female do
that. Hell yeah. Sucks to be on the other end of that.
But the thing is it's they're finding it really difficult to find women to really like place her up against because right. she's so hardcore and so badass that women's MMA is still kind of a fringe thing.
Right.
It was only 2 years
People
ago
have been frowning on it. Yeah.
That Dana White was like, no, that'll never happen. And the only reason he said in interviews that they've allowed it is because they had Ronda Rousey. She was originally in Strikeforce and she was such a dominant fighter and they bought Strikeforce. So she went over to UFC and that was really the story of 2014 was like a women's MMA becoming like this thing.
Ooh, yeah.
Started
I saw that.
As a fringe.
I saw that girl's ear get ripped
Ooh,
off.
Yeah.
Too.
So Woo. Now it's like.
They're not fing around.
It's gone from being this kind of like, is this going to really work to now like being the main event at fights? And so, you know.
And now I feel like the next step is like, are they going to pit her up against a guy?
I don't know. I don't know if they would.
Know
because
if I want to see that.
Right.
Man.
Well, the thing is like. If she's so badass that she can't fight any other women because there's no one that can even hold a torch to her.
That'd be interesting to see.
You know, line her up against the fucking, what's her weight class, you know? Find somebody in her weight class and see, you know. But I feel like that would be the next logical move. Kind of controversial, obviously.
Just, oh my God.
Imagine if the dude just knocked her the fuck out.
Yeah, if she wins, that's awesome and it would be a good clip. But like, if she got the it kicked out of her. Imagine the outcry
it
against UFC.
Terrible, yeah.
How awkward that would be.
Yeah.
How awful. And it would
and
just
it would
be,
never happen again.
Yeah, that would be f***ed. So,
whoever they pitted her against, if he ended up beating her,
right?
Both, you know, literally, you know, the his career's done. Like that's it.
Well, maybe. I mean, it's the kind of thing where you have to realize that gender in that situation is the one thing that has to go out the window. You've got two fighters in that situation.
Speaking of MMA fighting this week, they announced that in kind of a freak show fight. So Bellator is the competition of UFC. Bellator is owned by Viacom. They're on Spike TV, and they do more of the like freak show fights. So for instance, they have Tito Ortiz, and he's like 40. He's like they're going against their champion. So they kind of do the washed up or like freak fights. This week they announced. Kimbo Slice versus a 51-year-old Ken Shamrock.
Ken Shamrock, I saw that.
That's fucking crazy.
How old is Kimbo Slice?
He's got to be old.
He's got to be in his
late
30s,
40s. He looks like a ripped as hell Rick Ross.
Yeah, I would be fucking terrified of both of those guys. Still.
So Ken Shamrock is not only doing that, but he's also fighting in a bare knuckle boxing match in UFC.
Wow.
Or I'm sorry, in the UK. So he's doing bare knuckle boxing.
He's still fucking people up.
Yeah, he's.
I remember watching Ken Shamrock in the WWF.
Yeah. And he's, I actually listened to an interview with him recently. He does tactical, he's a security guard, so he does like tactical security in Las Vegas.
Oh, you're like, oh, Ken Shamrock's my bodyguard.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good right now.
He knows how to take people down and shoot them in the face.
Speaking of huge dudes who probably aren't very happy right now, and Zach Wilde's got to be pissed because somebody went and fucking desecrated Dimebag Daryl's grave.
Fucking assholes.
Was that today or like this week? It had to have been this week.
I saw the news all over my feed just today.
Okay. So it must have been today or yesterday. And we record this on Saturday, so you know, wherever you happen to be. There's a band called Nuclear Hellfrost that, you know, are self-proclaimed Pantera haters, Dime haters, claim that Pantera are a bunch of racist fucking hillbillies and rednecks or whatever. And, you know, who knows? But they're one of the most influential fucking bands in heavy metal. Dimebag is dead, had his life stolen from him. And these guys, you know, obviously, I'm just giving them all of the leeway in the world, which isn't fair because those guys, Pantera is an awesome band. Those guys are real, real down
to
earth.
They're legends.
Exactly.
And these fucking metalcore fruits can suck my goddamn balls. Fuck off. You're not metal. And another thing, you're just fucking assholes. Like, I get it. You don't like Pantera.
You know, I went through and read a bunch of the comments that the Pantera fans were posting on this band's webpage.
Yeah, they were having it.
there was one that really kind of stood out. Some guy said, "Man, I'm gonna find out where when their next show is, and I'm gonna jump on stage and shoot them."
Damn.
And
the thing is, though, that. You need to be worried about that.
I kind of feel it's kind of one of those. I hope the guy gets what he actually just said.
Well, here the thing is that they, as a band or whatever, posted it on their f-ing Facebook pages with their names, you know, and their pictures, and
It's up on our Instagram.
This is the internet
accounts.
In 2015.
Yeah.
One of the pictures from their Facebook page is one of their dudes pissing on a mural of Dimebag, and they're both flipping him the bird at the same time.
Wouldn't this be the best way to get to fuck over like a band that you just quit or just broke up with?
Right.
Like they fire you from the band, but you still have all access to all their Instagram and Facebook, so you just blame it on the band and then they die.
Right.
Well, here's the thing that the band has released a statement claiming that any wrongdoing was committed solely by their former lead singer.
Oh,
Reese
God.
Eber is his name. New evidence suggests that, at the very least, the rest of the band shares the anti-Dime sentiments, as I mentioned, that Dimebag memorial mural photo. And then these guys, in a little photo, like a screenshot of their Facebook page, is saying, Dime had it coming, we hijacked, hashtag Dimebag deserved it on Instagram, ha ha ha. That cemetery has exceptional landscaping. Ha, you wasted your time going out of your way to take a picture. That rules. I hope you went to Six Flags while you were there. And this dude goes, this was on our tour in summer when we played in Dallas. Definitely worth it.
So I'm just going to say I wouldn't do anything violent, but I know that there's a lot of crazy Pantera fans out there. And not only that, but there's a lot of Pantera fans out there.
So, you know, the percentage of crazy ones is way higher.
So that band?
Than normal.
Has a f***ing bullseye.
Yeah, Nuclear Hellfrost is the name of the band.
They will never be able to play a show unless they change their names, change their f***ing identities. You know, just join the Witness f***ing Protection Program, because you've got a hit on you from the metal community.
Right, so here's the thing. Krusty Plague is the dude's name on Twitter.
Sounds about right.
Or Instagram. And here's what the guy says. I hate Pantera with a passion, and so does the rest of my band. So on tour going through Texas, we paid douchebag Daryl a visit. We spit on his grave, stole a pair of cowboy boots, and I wrote fag on his grave. I'm not a homophobe, but I hope all the Pantera fans see this and shit themselves with anger. Fuck Dimebag, bunch of racist hillbillies. So Pantera's reaction, we're absolutely disgusted by this. We ask that all of you please show Dime and his grave the respect he deserves. This conduct would not be tolerated, and the authorities have been notified because it's a fucking felony. So good luck with that, because you just outed yourself, genius.
You dickbags.
It's kind of like they went and robbed a bank and then drove right to a cop station and was like, hey, we're the guys that robbed the bank.
Right, so, you know, there's a picture of Dime on his, you know, grave, and at the bottom of it there's a little, you know, razor, which was the necklace, you know, whatever. And, you know, the whole Dimebag Daryl thing. And so the guy wrote over it in white paint and then scratched in fag on it. So
I recently heard this, like, story. They were talking about how it was, like, years and years and years ago in a third world country where if you were caught doing something really f***ed up, like a felony, then they would have this man who would not, he wouldn't, like, kill you. He wouldn't cut your head off. But he had all these f***ed up STDs.
Whoa.
And he would f*** you in the ass. And, like, rape you with all these STDs. So that's what needs to happen to these motherfuckers.
You got STD assed.
Oh, Ryan's like, just like, God damn it.
It's a whole new level of reality, dude.
All right, moving on.
I don't even know about that. He just altered my altar. Desecrating my shrine.
Alter your altar.
F***ing Spock died, man.
Rest in peace, man.
Leonard Nimoy. Awesome guy. You know, I don't really know if he ever really starred in many other roles. Other than Spock, because
he was in Transformers, dude. He was the voice of one of the Transformers.
Okay,
yeah,
that's cool.
In the Transformers movies from the 80s.
But he kicked ass as Spock, and Spock was my favorite part about Star Trek.
Of course.
I grew up with Star Trek, the older ones. They used to be on reruns when I was young.
Yeah. And, you know, J.J. Abrams recently made those new Star Trek movies, and he played...
He was in those, too.
Yeah, he was in those.
The first one, at least.
Those were awesome.
Yeah. It was cool to see him revitalized in the movies, at least. And he looked healthy in that, so...
Well, he passed away this week at age 83 and blamed it on smoking. He had quit smoking, you know, decades ago, but at the end, because he had lung cancer and emphysema, and so he knew that it was because he smoked for the majority of his life. So he became an anti-smoking kind of advocate after that, but a lot of metal celebrities reacted to the death of Leonard Nimoy this week. We'll read off a few of them. Scotty Ian says, hero, RIP Leonard Nimoy, Spock of Star Trek dies at 83. Devin Townsend, RIP my uncle today, also Leonard Nimoy, so condolences to Devin also. In Flames, sad news, rest in peace Spock, Darkest Hour, Mr. Spock, you'll be missed, but your ideology will live on, live long and prosper. You guys following along with this? Vernon Reed.
Yeah.
Devastating day for Star Trek and sci-fi fans. Rest in peace. Best alien ever. Sick of it all. Jeremy Safer. Otep. Valiant Thor. Zeus, the producer.
Yeah.
Abiotic. Mark Hunter from Chimera. Twitching Tongues. Shai Halud.
Everyone has respect for Spock.
Yeah, a lot of people out there, man. So
I just wanted to highlight the last tweet ever by Leonard Nimoy, and this is really kind of touching. He said, "A life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory. Live long and prosper."
Live long and prosper.
And that was on the 22nd.
So now I got to go rewatch Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan.
Absolutely.
And follow along Spock's funeral scene. We'll smoke a bowl for him and pour one out for the homie. Spock was always the best one, dude. Pointing out how fucking dumb humans are. Here's an article I wanted to bring up just for one simple reason, and I want this to be one of Travis's viral rants one of these days.
Okay.
Bands that spell their fucking names wrong on purpose.
Bizkit. Oh, I hate Stained.
That. You spell your name wrong on purpose.
A lot of them were in the new metal.
Yeah, but
genre.
It still happens. Okay, so here's an example. Ex-Tesseract vocalist Ash O'Hara resurfaces with a band called Dizzyin. Dizzyin. How do you think it's spelled? And I'm sure you're just reading this. Spell it out.
No. I don't have it in front of me.
Really?
So
Dizzyin.
Dizzyin.
Dizzyin. Spelled wrong. On purpose. Creatively and artistically.
Q.
D. D. I. Z. I. A. N. Dizzyin?
Nope.
D. Y. Z.
Oh.
H. A. N.
D-Z-Y-E-N. Dizzyin. D-Z-Y-E-N.
Womp, womp, womp.
Fucking stop! Anyway, just wanted to bring that up.
Dumb.
Spell your band name right, and if you're taking a word and spelling it wrong, your band is fucking guaranteed to suck. Stop. You get the curse of the metal gods on you.
Earlier this week, it was actually published by Blabbermouth that Century Media, which is an independent record label, they are one of the few huge metal labels out there. They started in Europe as a mostly black and death metal record label, and they've since kind of conquered the musical landscape as far as metal goes. They've branched out. They've done a lot of, like metalcore and just rock music. And, you know, we play a lot of their artists on Metal Shop. There's a ton of bands that we play here.
Yeah, they're huge, man.
Apparently, they're looking to sell to one of three majors, Sony Music Entertainment, Warner Music Group, or Universal, which is really the only three majors that are left.
Right. So, okay, there's a few ways you can look at this. Obviously, Century Media has been doing a lot of hard work, legitimately. Century Media is no Victory Records, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And all due respect to, you know, the past and history and current whatever, blah, 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 of both of those records, because they work for their bands. But Century Media has been diversifying and changing, growing, evolving, giving their artists fair deals and, helping support and further metal in general. And so you can look at it as, you know, what the fuck, Century Media? You're going to hand over your catalog of artists to basically the enemy, you know? And then you can also look at it as Century Media, you are taking this group of artists and elevating their exposure and possibilities for touring and you know, financial backing and financial security for the future of, like, keeping these bands around. So it's probably in there somewhere in between is my guess.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, man. I mean, how do you guys feel about it? What if Century Media was bought by Warner Brothers or, you know, Sony?
All right, well,
what do you think would change? Would anything change?
Not sure. I think maybe...
I'm sure small things would change. I mean, obviously, whenever a smaller company gets bought out by a larger corporation, there's...
People are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah, some things change. You know, some things are going to change. But then again, at the same time, in this... I've seen a couple articles on this, and the argument that keeps coming up is Century Media hasn't really developed a stable crop of new bands. They don't have, you know, whereas other labels are constantly adding new bands and, like, really pushing the hell out of them. I mean, really, really turning them into road dogs and really...
And Century Media's kind of been snapping up, like, the class bands that have been around for a while and helping them put out their new stuff. And...
Right. And the bands that I've seen that they have picked up, that are newer bands, I really haven't seen them getting the support that they could get.
Okay,
so,
fair
enough. And that's somewhat of an opinion, so don't... You
right,
know,
obviously, yeah, we don't work there, so yeah. We don't know
but
everything.
But, you know, and so I think that might have something to do with it. I mean, the longevity of a label isn't in the legacy bands. That'll keep them afloat when times are rough. The longevity of a label is based off of the new bands that...
Creating a next... Yeah, the next level.
Yeah, that are creating the next wave of legacy bands.
I'm curious.
You know.
I'm curious. Well, we'll see. I mean, and if it does happen, I you know, we have friends there.
Yeah, totally.
That I would love to see continue to work there because... the connection we have with a smaller label like Century Media is far like I've got their cell phone numbers.
Yeah, and, you know and that's
like they're far more accessible than
major labels,
right?
And they're one of those labels where I feel like anytime this show has asked them for anything, they've been instantly just like, oh hell yeah,
yep,
yeah. Here you need a physical copy of the album. We'll send it to you. Yeah, it's really
so yeah. We poised to lose potentially.
Yeah,
because you know, it doesn't. It's hard to say. It's hard to speculate because any of those record major labels that you just mentioned, I can't think of any big metal bands that are like they're not joining forces with a whole rock. They'll have rock bands, but it'd be like In Flames on tour with Staind.
See, I would have liked
Justin Bieber.
What? Actually, Ian's isn't that far of a stretch.
I know.
Days.
That's what I'm saying. Seriously,
you know, I would have
like
liked
In
to
Flames
have seen
opening
it,
up for f-ing Nickelback.
I would have loved to have seen it get absorbed into another one of the smaller labels, like Metal Blade or something like that. Like a
like
bigger
join forces.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just kind of merge into.
Well, it's one of those things. Like the top guys at Century Media are just going.
They could have called it Century Blade.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right, so breaking news, I guess, during this Metal Shop Backstage podcast.
Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun.
It's SportsCenter. Here's the guy who f***ed up Dimebag's gravesite.
Piece of shit.
And he's getting his nuts removed with a garden sickle.
I think he got, like, in the time that we recorded this podcast, he probably got at least 85 death threats.
Dude, it had one. I think that is an incredible understatement.
People showing up to his place of work.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Like, you know his name. You know his band. That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's enough to find out who this guy is. If you really care enough, you can find his f***ing address. You can find his social security number. You can find his f***ing cell phone number.
You can ruin his
life.
This
guy's done. He's done. He's already done. And the thing is that it's only been a day or two. Wait. A couple more days until it finally starts to really get out there to the people who might not have immediately seen it.
When Cletus gets on Facebook for
that's what I'm saying.
His weekly
what
Facebook
do you
visit.
Goddamn, die back, Mark! Yeah.
Well, you know,
somebody's going to die, dude.
The redneck jokes aside, there's some nerdy Pantera fans that are super computer savvy. And that's the crew I'd be more terrified of.
And that's what I mean. Like, we live in
Anonymous
the,
gets
we live
on
in
this.
The age of, yeah. It's 2015. That's what I'm saying. It's just hard to say, but the guy did issue an apology.
Oh, it's okay then.
Here's the thing, like, this apology's really long. So you can tell that the guy who did this is
crying, sad.
He knows, right? But the thing is, and if this person who's doing this is issuing such a long, like, retraction or apology, this guy's a fucking sociopath. Enough to be like, I want all this attention, and I'm going to post my f***ing name, my handle, my band, and all of their names, and blah, 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 and then to go, oh, I didn't think that was going to happen, or what? Like, I'm sorry, guys.
Then why'd you post it on social media?
You're f***ed up. This guy is going to have a bad, bad time.
I think someone's going to rip out that nasal piercing of his and just drag him around the neighborhood.
Pull it like a grenade pin.
His bull ring in his nose.
His bull ring?
Yes.
All right. I mean, like, do we have the... okay. Are there any quotes that are even worthy of pulling out of this guy's statement?
Sure. I guess. I'm not asking for forgiveness. I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm only attempting to express an apology that I want to reach out to the people I hurt and offended with this dumb act. He says that Some jokes are not funny, and this is one of them. He feels sorry to Vinnie Paul and the Abbott family for the distress he caused, and the other members of Pantera and other acts Daryl was a part of. Anyways, to wrap this up, I hope this was read. I hope at least someone will accept this, and I hope for a better future for everyone.
Thanks.
Let's all hold hands before you all kick my ass.
Here's the fucking thing. Like, this guy means a lot to people. And to the point where, like, Dimebag means a lot to people who never even met Dimebag. And to people who have knew Dimebag, they're like, it's such a deeply insulting thing.
Yeah. It's messed up.
I don't even know how to, like, put it into words. Like, if somebody did that to one of my family members or a friend of mine, like, it's to the point where it's like, I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed. You know what I mean? Like, to the depths of just, like, you are just shitty.
It's not like it's just a run-of-the-mill troll, douchebag, talking shit and posting pictures of him doing something fucked up. He literally did messed up things to his grave, so.
Right.
Again.
Thing is, though, it's just a piece of earth. It's just a little piece of metal. It touches nothing about Dimebag. It touches nothing about his legacy or the things that he got to accomplish and the memories he helped create. So, let's take that and just move forward with it, I suppose. You know?
And
it makes me want to go. I want to go.
Yeah, I want to go.
I want to go.
I'll put a pick on this.
Nuclear Hellfrost.
Nuclear Hellfrost. Okay, good news. Good news. How about this?
Okay.
New Iron Maiden.
Awesome.
You know? Yeah.
New Iron Maiden. They are talking about how they have the new Iron Maiden record, and they're making it sound like it's done. Like it's like ready to go.
Nice.
Ready to launch. So they're sitting on a new Maiden record. And obviously, Bruce Dickinson was dealing with the completion of his cancer treatment on his malignant tumor on the back of his tongue, of all places. And so they're waiting. And here's the quote. We've made an album. The album was ready to go this year. It still is. When I say was, we were planning on going out and doing some work around the album, which now we're all just holding on. And once Bruce is up and running, hopefully in the next couple of months, you never know when this might happen. You just never know, do ya? Ha, ha, ha. So, once Bruce, I think, is back up and ready to go, tongue cancer is obviously a big deal when you sing in a band. So, once he's ready to go, they're going to do it. Because Iron Maiden is a band that does it right. They know when they have a record, they got to go out on the road. Tour on the record. Support the record.
Yeah.
That's what they did for the Final Frontier, you know?
And they're one of those legacy bands that's smart enough to play the new songs that they want to play, keep it fresh, and play the other songs that they know everybody
wants
to hear.
And they have so many songs that they get to like pick and choose, like, yes, we have this many good songs.
They break it up. I liked it when they did a tour a couple years back, and they were like, hey, we're only playing stuff off the first three records.
Cool.
Like, that's what we're doing this tour. It was rad. I like that they do things like that. It's cool.
So as long as Bruce gets it, you know, gets his health back in order, we will be seeing Maiden either in late 2015 or sometime in early 2016, at the latest, they say. So, fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not. Fear of the not.
An interesting music story that was making the rounds this week is about Devin Townsend, Heavy Devi, and the way it's kind of framed is saying... It's a cold splash of water in the face of your music biz dreams is the title of this. And, you know, it's music. Musicians aren't necessarily making too much money these days.
No.
On the lower end of the scheme
of
things.
Yeah, these are your musical slaves pretty f***ing much at this point. And maybe not. That's a strong word. That said, though, these guys are making far less money than the guy who's coming to... do the plumbing in your house.
Yeah, that's true.
Or the guy who came to pave the road outside your f***ing apartment.
Yeah.
You know, they're making less money than the guy who is, you know, repairing your car. You know, all I'm saying is that it's not as rich and famous and glamorous as you might think to be a guy like Devin Townsend.
To be fair, though, that's not, I mean, music isn't necessarily a trade that we need to continue on.
Right, exactly, exactly. So it's not like an infrastructure thing. Maybe that's just the things that I referenced just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not a blue-collar worker. He's a f***ing artist, you know? He's a musician. But, I mean, let's look at it relatively. Think about how the music industry was even 15 years ago. 15, 20 years ago, a man like Devin Townsend at that point, you know, just on principle of the fact that there are actually albums physically being sold, tapes are being sold, vinyl is being sold, you're making more money. So
if I would go so far as to say a guy like Devin Townsend about 15, 20 years ago, putting out the amount of material, like the sheer volume of products that he's produced, would be a very well-off man. He, I mean, it maybe not Metallica rich,
well,
but
right.
he'd be...
So the reason we even bring this up is because he himself, in an interview that he just did on the Music Business Facts podcast, which is, I need to go back and listen to that. I haven't heard this yet. I want to go back and hear that. During the course of this interview, he revealed how much money he makes.
And he's not complaining about it either, which is interesting. He's just saying he can't complain. He's able to pay his bills.
So here it is. He makes about $5,000 a month before taxes. Before taxes. Sometimes, and this is a quote from him, sometimes you get a bonus, but a lot of it goes back in the pot because everybody's on a salary, his band and roadies and his team. I get a bit more than the other guys in the band because it's called the Devin Townsend Project. Makes sense to me. So, and Metal Sucks goes on to iterate, in case your arithmetic sucks, that works out to about $60,000 a year, plus bonuses. Devin Townsend's 42 years old. At 42, my dad made nothing, and that's just because he was working for a company that wasn't doing anything. But as years went on, you know, like, it was like, man, I need to get a good job. That's the whole f***ing point of, like, going to college and doing all this stuff, but man... Devin Townsend making $60,000 a year touring and putting out, like you said, what, 50, 60, 75 songs a year?
Yeah, the guy puts out...
On records?
The guy puts out an average of 2 to 3 albums a year, which is ridiculous. Most bands get one every 2 years, if we're lucky.
Right. And he says he can't complain. So he's still doing it because he loves making music. It's not making anyone rich, really, at this point.
Yeah.
And music, the passion for music is the only reason anyone should even do it. I think we get it at this point. If you're young and going, I'm going to get rich, you need to be insanely dedicated and lucky and know the right people and just be the like conglomeration of a million different magical things.
You just need to figure out different revenue streams.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to get creative, man.
Have side hustles.
You know, I think Killer Mike said it best. It's like, man, if you think you're going to grow up and be the next P. Diddy, you're sadly mistaken because there's 20 or 30 people who are hanging out with P. Diddy, and they can't be P. Diddy.
Right. So good luck breaking into that circle.
Yeah, right? It's not realistic, man.
Ain't no money in the music biz, at least not in heavy metal.
It's true. So I guess it's official. There is no more Nevermore. In an interview that they did, Sanctuary... that Worrell Dane and bassist Jim Shepherd did. They were both listed as ex-Nevermore members. We all kind of knew this, right. But that just kind of makes it official. Nevermore is donezo. Which means they can do a reunion in a couple of years.
Well, because Van moved on to do Ghost Ship Octavius.
Yep.
They were a quartet, and Jeff Loomis is doing Arch Enemy. So I think that's the final nail, man. That's it. Nevermore is not coming back anymore unless something really special happens or a miracle happens, really.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's talk about, I mean, does anybody really care about how much money bands make?
Honestly, not really. But
I mean, it's one of those, like, curiosity things, I guess. If we're going to talk about, you know, Devin Townsend not making very much money, these lists, they keep coming out. And I don't know who is... compiling these.
They're finding them on Polestar.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about Foo Fighters at Sao Paulo, Brazil. The gross sales was $5.2 million.
Damn.
Ticket prices, guess. Between $250 and $260.
Jesus.
Nickelback at the Montreal Ball, $600,000. Marilyn Manson in Chicago, $122,000. Machine Head in Dublin, $32,000. Mastodon in Dublin, $28,000 per show at a rate of 33.86.
I found it really interesting that Mastodon
sold
was
out.
Making less than Machine Head.
At a sold-out show.
At a sold-out show.
Right.
Because you would think that, I mean, even I'm not, ticket
prices were just more for Machine Head.
I'm not dissing on Machine Head either. You know, I'm just saying Mastodon at this point, in at least in my eyes, is much more out there band. You know, they're getting airplay on during regular radio hours. They're on the tip of everybody's tongue. They were up for a Grammy. You know, they just seem to have a little bit more attention going. But I guess Machine Head's got the legacy behind them.
Foo Fighters, one show, $5.2 million.
Crazy.
I could live the rest of my life off of $5.2 million.
Right. And I mean, that's gross sales. So that's not taking the cut for the venue. I'm sure they took a fat percentage of that.
Yeah.
The sales company and agents and all that. Man, I just can't. Man. $5.2 million. Good for you, Dave.
Yay.
All right. Randy Bly from Lamb of God has been working on his autobiography that we are all kind of dying to read since he got locked up in prison, you know, over there in Eastern Europe. But they have a release date. It's going to be coming out July 14th. It's called Dark Days, My Tribulations and Trials. So if you want to read the full thing, you'll be waiting till the summertime.
It's going to have some good stories in it.
Yeah, that's going to be one that you're going to want to like sit by the beach and have a little umbrella drink in your hand, because it's probably going to be a little depressing.
Yeah, you're going to need some happiness to go along with that
exactly.
One.
Exactly. A little dose of sunshine.
So, if you remember correctly, Killswitch Engage is contributing to a Game of Thrones mixtape.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird, but sweet. They did a song called Loyalty. And I don't know. You can listen to 40 seconds of it on there.
Let's see. Let's find out.
All right.
Interesting. I know Ryan's just like, what?
Rip's all right.
You like it? That's for House Martell. I haven't read the book, so I don't know what that means, but
I definitely can see that being a part of a Game of Thrones kind of concept.
I always thought Game of Thrones was like had that medieval kind of vibe. No. If I heard a metal song in a Game of Thrones thing, I'd go,
what?
I would go, what? And then I would go, what else you got?
Yeah.
Well, what else can you serve up?
I don't know. I was kind of digging it, but mostly I was picturing just like epic sword fights and dragons and stuff. Just,
I
like,
think
listening to that.
At
like,
that point,
yeah, it's all right.
That's some backstabbing music right there. Somebody just got iced, and everyone's like, no. Anyway, that's
the music video, the knife's all slow motion, and the blood just like drips off.
Squirting up. Anyway, good times, man.
Good times, great oldies.
I used to work for that radio station.
Now that we've all heard the news for the week, it's time for us to get a little bit more, I don't know, artistic, a little bit more sensitive, to bring the tone down a bit and enter the Metal Shop Lounge. This week, Ian will be reciting the lyrics for Brutal Poetry Too Hot for Radio of a band called Ain't C***. You're a f***ing c***. Off of, what was it, 40 more?
40 more reasons to hate us.
Perfect. You're a f***ing cunt. Ian, take it away.
You're f***ing annoying, and your band f***ing sucks. Your boyfriend's an idiot, and you're a f***ing cunt. You think you're so important and want everyone to suck up. I hope you OD and die real soon, because you're a f***ing cunt. Ironic. 15-year-old kids don't care about animals and women's rights, but you force it down their throats. Because you're a f***ing cunt. Your writing's about as interesting as an alien's funts. I hope you die. Because you're a f***ing cunt.
Thank you, Ian.
God damn. Sorry, Mom.
So this week, in our weird transition, we're going to throw it to the audio of us actually getting approved to do Metal Shop at 10 from the men's room this past week.
Give me our pizza. Give me my pizza.
During TV time with Ted. So let's go back to the men's room. on Wednesday. Thanks for listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Peace out, bitch. See you later, Tim.
Here's the deal. A pizza just showed up at the front desk, and it said it was from Metal Shop.
Get it.
Metal Shop, Saturdays.
Get it.
Late.
Get it.
Right. They're not here, so I'm going to go grab that pizza.
What the hell?
I'm going to grab some pizza.
Wait it.
I don't know who thinks Metal Shop's on a Wednesday.
We talked about this earlier. If you're going to put free food anywhere in this building,
right,
we're going to scope it and we're going to eat it. Just tell them to send the pizza back here. Do the delivery guy already leave, or do we
I'll
still
grab
have
it? No, it's right there. I'll get
all
it.
Right, okay, cool. Yeah.
Carry on, Ted.
So they're still having sex in the car.
All right.
You don't mind if we eat some delicious pizza during your segment, do you?
So it doesn't just stop there. So then on the way home, I see like a group of people kind of coming down a different street, and the guy's kind of staggering a little bit. And the girl just grabs him and, like, pulls him around a corner and starts making out with him. And I was like,
wow.
You
should have hung out there, man. Too bad you don't smoke.
You should have just hung outside. Like, clearly this is just happening to
people. And these were 5 blocks apart. So, I mean, I don't know what was going on last night. You know?
That's a good stretch of road.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody was getting in. And
yeah. Getting some.
Right. Either that or they were homeless.
Nah, I don't think any of them were homeless. It was crazy.
Oh, God almighty. What are you guys doing here?
What are you... I think you have something that belongs to us.
No, that's not true.
This is our pizza. You see this pizza? This is ours. Oh, this says Metal Shop on it.
We know, but you guys aren't on. We thought that this guy had a like some of us being nice and sending the...
We didn't even see that.
You guys get all the beer you want. You got to take the pizza,
you guys
too.
Get everything. Come on.
I got intercepted, guys.
It's our anniversary pizza. Right?
Good job, Ben.
There's two of them, all right?
Ben came in, and we're like, just be covert and grab it, dude. No one's going to know. They're not going to know. We're not going to tell you.
We'll get you another pizza.
I came around the corner, and they're like both standing. I'm like, oh, no.
What kind of pizza is it, by the way?
It's a pork paradise.
So I'm assuming that you had this pizza delivered here at this time so you could come in and whatever you're doing.
Well, interrupt my TV segment.
And it worked perfectly.
Okay.
Yeah. Good to see you too, boys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man, I guess, but I want my pizza back.
We've had a few days off, so what the hell do you want?
Well, we're not having you. You came in to reclaim your pizza.
We wanted to eat our pizza, and I think we got it.
I don't want you to eat the goddamn pizza.
So, sorry.
Can we have a piece of it?
I mean, it's like paradise. We get one pizza every 5 years. This is our anniversary pizza.
Now I feel bad about almost eating it.
No,
it's
I don't
the one
either.
Thing we get from Hair Club.
We kind of thought that.
What is going on with your 10 o'clock thing? It's like it's still the Twitter thing's still going on.
Right, Metal Shop at 10.
Yeah,
right. It's been going pretty well, man.
You're fighting a good fight, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I know the Twitter's going well, but how does that translate to you being on it? Like. People seem to be behind it, but I'm saying, you guys be on the 10? Like, people tell us to shut up, and we don't, you know?
I think a lot
it's
of...
our 10-year anniversary, by the way, and we did not get a pizza.
Sorry. You know what? That's a good effing point.
So I just kind of assume that, this is your last pizza.
we've been getting a lot of good feedback,
You guys have. I've noticed a couple tweets out. You've had some guys and bands who have... So what's the word from your initial thought of, we want to get off the air an hour earlier?
I mean, like, in terms of talking to, like, Hair Club, like
you know what I'm saying.
We haven't heard anything the people from them
because it's all over Twitter. But the one thing we know about Hair Club, like he's not on Twitter.
Yeah,
so even if 7 billion people said do this, he would not know.
Incidentally, just to catch up right here, the guys from Metal Shopper and Kevin and Ian last week they came because they want their pizza that we were unaware of. What you don't know is Metal Shop starts at 11 o'clock at night, and the reason you don't know that is because you're probably already asleep. So the idea is that you guys wanted to get the show a little bit earlier, so maybe you'd have some listeners.
Yeah, man.
Miles said you need to put it on a 10.
You're the one who planted the seed, and I'm pretty sure you got to show up.
That's been the biggest part about all of it, Miles is going to be on Metal Shop at
10.
Somebody asked me this weekend, like, hey, you know, what's going on Metal Shop at 10? I said, I think it's a great idea.
And then
it's a great idea.
It went to Twitter. Everyone's like, yeah, do it. And I almost feel weird because you guys said nothing about it. This is all Miles. This is all Miles that started this goddamn thing.
So thanks.
But you guys seem cool with it. But has anyone asked Hair Club or Castle or...
I mean, we've gotten a ton of feedback from bands. You know, we've just...
But Hair Club or Castle...
Are they here?
I mean,
is somebody here?
Castle should be across the hall.
Where's Castle?
Castle.
Or Hair Club.
Why don't you just put the damn... I told you, nobody's listening. Just put it on at 10 o'clock and nobody will know.
Just aim for
it? I will actually listen. I tell you what, I will show up for an episode. Here's Castle. Just find out what's going on with him.
Nothing good ever happens when I have to come in here in the afternoon.
No, no.
And I will have you know, pizza.
Yeah.
Apparently it's Metal Shop.
I was drapes shopping. That's what.
Oh, you were.
Saying.
I see.
I believe you only because there's no other reason to
I was. I was looking for window dressings.
Wow.
What?
Castle, who is what program guru here at KSW? Is
something like
do?
That. Yeah, I'll take something. That.
Drunk in charge.
You get to make decisions. Is the thing.
So we're going to bring you in and find out. These guys want to go on the air at 10 o'clock so I can listen to the show one time.
Once.
Miles would like Metal Shop to start at 10.
Yeah. Can we do that?
I don't. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
They come on. I know you don't listen because you're probably in bed too. But every Saturday night at 11, Kevin and Ian do a show for a few hours. You've never heard it because it's on too late for both of us.
That would explain that hole in the programming in the middle of the night on Saturday.
What they're thinking of is they want to start the show at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, man. People are kind of spoken.
Let me tell you what happened.
What is the real
Miles brought it up. Then we went to Twitter, and now everyone's supporting it. So Miles has created this issue, and you guys seem cool with the idea, right?
Yeah, we're trying to harness it.
You mean to tell me you haven't seen anything? You haven't seen any of the tweets, any of the Facebook, Instagram stuff?
And what time do you guys normally get off?
What time do we get out?
No, what time do you normally end the show?
We're done at 3 a.m., man.
Okay, but you're going to keep the show going. You're going to keep the show going to 3 a.m. if you can start an hour earlier, right?
Really? 6 hours of Metal Shop? Five? Let's just drag
this
it out.
This is all about making last
we'll
calls.
Keep it going until Sunday morning, man.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm
being that serious.
I've seen your internets, yes.
I participate.
Well,
is there something they can do?
You know, what's funny is last week when you guys started talking about this, I was out for a little jog and I was listening on the radio.
Yeah.
It's like, why wouldn't they just? I mean, why start this on the radio? Why not just come in and be like, hey, dude, I got this great idea. Why don't we do Metal Shop an hour earlier at 10 o'clock? And then I probably would have said something like, you know what, that's a really great idea.
Hey, Ryan.
But since you started this thing, I was like, you know what, let's see how far they can take this thing.
I got a question for you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Can we start Metal Shop at 10?
I think that's a fine idea.
So it's not really a big deal.
Nice!
All right, but cool.
It'll cost you a slice of pizza.
All right. We can do that.
So wait a minute.
And wait, one more thing. One more caveat. Miles gets no pizza.
What do you mean I get no pizza?
You get a slice of pizza if you come up to Metal Shop at 10 p.m.
That's what I want to hear. Right. I want to hear Miles.
You know what? I'll take that. That's a bargin. You go on the first Metal Shop at 10 o'clock.
When's the first Metal Shop going to be at
10 o'clock?
This Saturday?
Saturday, I swear to Christ.
We went through all this. I knew it was just a matter of, hey, Castle, can we start at 10? It's like, yeah.
Right, and don't worry about Hair Club. He probably thinks the show's on at 10 now anyway.
I want to hear Miles introduce a Napalm Death song.
The only thing that I've got going on is I've got my two kids this weekend.
So? Bring them down, man.
Bring them up to Metal Shop.
Give them an education.
Do you mind if my kids come down? Because I really, honest to God, will have
party.
My kids.
So,
they like pizza.
A beer. I get a piece of pizza. Miles, no pizza unless he comes in Saturday night at 10 o'clock.
Look,
then
if you guys are on at 10 o'clock, I told you, I'd come in and listen to it.
Okay.
You're a man of your word. Are you going to do it this Saturday?
If I can bring my kids. I mean, I
Is
that cool, though? We have the thumbs up for Metal Shop at 10.
It's done.
All right.
Why didn't you just
ask
it?
I'm serious.
It was much more fun this way. I liked watching it develop. That was great.
Why didn't you just ask it?
Hashtag Metal Shop at 10.
We do things the hard way.
Because it wasn't their idea. It was your idea. You said you guys should start an hour earlier. They're like, yeah, that would be cool.
So we literally
had nothing to ask.
We could have just asked.
This was all you.
I could have asked.
And then it went to Twitter, and it's all this crap.
We could have just walked into your office and asked.
Start at 10. I'll be there. It's too late for me. All right, we're starting at 10. I can't go.
I'm not sure if I can make it or not, man. I got my kids.
It was pretty cool the way the whole thing panned out. So
you got a lot of support.
Congratulations,
though, right?
Yeah.
That's really
and
cool.
thanks to the Rockaholics, man, for really flying the Metal Shop flag, giving us a reason
didn't
to be
do
around.
Anything. All you had to do was ask Castle.
And thank you for
that's
that.
What I
was all the Metal Tribe. Yeah.
Well, I think if you guys are starting the show a little bit earlier on Saturday nights, it also means maybe some brunches on Sunday now.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Be able to go to bed and wake up and see the Seahawks.
It's all upside.
Did you guys
brunch on you, Ted?
Did you guys ever think?
Hey, I'll take you boys brunching.
Yeah. It's getting better and better.
And I don't have kids, so I'll mean it.
I got a great
yes.
idea. Do you guys remember when 5-minute abs started?
Yeah.
And those four minute abs after that?
Okay.
Why don't we do Metal Shop at 9 now? And that way I can really come in and
that's
really
easy,
hang
easy,
out.
Easy, easy, easy. Let's baby steps, baby steps.
Hey, Ryan, can we?
I will try to stay up.
What's that Metal Shop at 9?
They said just ask.
I'll try to stay up till 10 o'clock. I do have my kids this weekend. It might not be the weekend I get in here, but I'll definitely get in here.
I think we should congratulate Miles on having an idea that followed through in spite of you not taking responsibility for it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was your idea.
No pizza for you.
It
you
pissed
a bitch. And then in the end, it was your idea.
You said,
why don't you guys start an hour earlier? Like, I could do it.
Well, that's
true. I'm going to go finish buying my drapes.
Oh, yes.
You're really buying drapes?
We're going to devour this pizza.
Jesus.
party because it's Metal Shop at 10, baby.
Okay, you guys excited then?
It was
Hell yeah.
All right, cool, man. That was a hell of a campaign.
Thanks,
I'm glad
guys.
You got the free pizza today. They're finally celebrating your 5-year anniversary by putting you on an hour early.
Hands off.
I didn't
the
think
you
would have to go through all
but
that.
But that was like a campaign for Vladimir Putin. Like, he's going to win. You don't need the campaign. All you had to do was freaking ask. Mm-hmm. But who knew?
Well, Miles, we're just going to start doing things around here and see what happens.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. You do. You have my blessing. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. You just ask forgiveness instead of permission, right?
One and nine. They'll never know.
Yes. It has served me poorly over the years, but I continue.
Yeah. Get the ticket after you speed. That's the way it works. All right, guys. That's awesome, man. And
thanks
to everybody who hooked you guys up. I know you were all over Twitter over the weekend. I was looking at it like going, this is absolutely. I saw Kevin and Steve from back in the day with some support.
Yep.
I looked at that. I was like, Jesus, Kevin, I haven't seen you forever.
I know, man.
How you been, brother? I was talking to my screen. At the time, I really was like, ooh, there's Steve. I know he broke a rib lately.
Yeah, what did he say back?
He said, my rib hurts, but I'm still living in a tree in the middle of the forest, living off dandelions.
Right.
Whatever the hell he's doing. I think he's like flowed through a cloud of like hippified life.
Yeah,
pretty much. So I'm sure I won't see him unless I just start running naked through the woods on mushrooms. And then he'll pop up like, I'm here.
Be like, oh, I've been waiting for you.
It's like a magical leprechaun or something.
He is, man. Well,
so is Metal Shop.
Like, he knows the Keebler elves. He'd be that guy.
Yeah. And then offer you cookies when you got to the tree.
Mm, oh, yeah. I told you. P&W, everything is wonderful. Here, have a cookie. It's made from moss rock.
Steve has great little snacks on him all the time.
Yeah,
that's what we're saying.
He's got everything, man.
You guys are going to go on a 10 this Saturday night.
Yes.
I will see what I can do. Okay. I will try to get my ass
Do you think Hair Club will even know? My money says, I thought you guys came out at 9.
Unless we get some angry emails. That's the only way.
Okay.
He would ever find out.
Does Metal Shop get any other kind of emails?
Emails from prison.
Even if they're happy with Metal Shop, they're angry.
Yeah, right. People will be fired.
Angry people that like you.
Well, for interrupting.
Will you start the first hour out with
damn
all of your favorite metal band slow songs?
Yeah, some Whitesnake, some Warrant.
You can always play Uncle Tom's Cabin, I guess. Whatever the hell his name is.
I'm so lost without you.
See, and now it's going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day.
Metallica, turn the page.
There's I don't even know what song that is. I just knew the lyric.
There's all no Slayer power
air supply. Air supply.
Wow, this is really getting bad. So you guys are going to go on at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That was a hell of a campaign you guys ran there. Maybe we should do that. Men's room off at 5. You know what I'm saying?
Men's room 3 days a week.
Men's room off at 5, 3 days a week.
Same pay.
Exactly.
We'll work 4 fives.
Men's off.
Instead of 5 fours.
Right, like nurses. You know what I'm saying?
Think of my Fridays of 3-day weekend.
All right, guys, go eat your damn pizza. What's on TV tonight, by the way?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.